Hi, my name's Alex Donaldson.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust.
Okay.
The date is the 12th of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Okay, my full name is Dan James Cooper. I am 27 and a number of months. And I am from the Midlands originally. Moved around a bit. Spent a bit of time in Wales. Down here now. Been here for 5 years. Love it. Don't want to ever go away. Unless I go to somewhere bigger and better. Like maybe New York. Or LA. Or Sydney.
Why not?
Mm.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
A lot of my friends are quite interested in kind of the fourth plinth, the project, obviously not specifically this one, but you know, the general swapping them around. And so we're always looking at when they did the tendering for the new one to go up there. So it's sort of a big thing. And to be honest, when they announced it, I was like, I've always wanted to have a silent disco. Yeah. I've always wanted to have one in Trafalgar, so I thought it would be great. I'll have to organise that sometime, that'd just be amazing. And then when I was looking at the fourth plinth, I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could be on the fourth plinth, having a silent disco with all my minions below me? I mean, obviously there's going to be a routine, part of the routine where I've got to, you know, wave my hand at them sort of thing. But, and then this project came up and I thought, I've really got to do it. it seemed like fate.
So, how did you feel when you found out you had a place?
Sort of disbelieving, because I'd had the first month I'd had my email that said, you know, you haven't got a place, and yeah, okay. And the next month I was actually literally really quickly checking my email, so I thought, oh look, I've got another email from one and other. Oh, it's probably going to be a rejection. I literally looked at it, went to click delete, and I think then it was I noticed congratulations. I thought, hold on a sec, and then there was probably about 20 minutes of hysteria of me running around the office telling everybody. Then there was 20 minutes of me going, oh, what am I going to do? But yeah, it was great. I was really excited.
So you're doing silent disco.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just tell me a little bit about how you're planning on the logistics?
Well, basically, the whole thing's been set up. I set up a Facebook event. I invited all my friends. They've all been requesting songs. So I've worked with a couple of them to narrow it down to a playlist of an hour. We have 16 tracks. Got my housemate, who's wonderful, he's a DJ. He has put them into a one single track. And basically, I've told everyone to come down. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to shout down, you know, on the count of five. I'll say play, press play, and we'll just press the button. Everyone should have the same music, playing at the same time.
And so this is through headphones?
Yes, just through. No, I've asked people to, they're all bringing their own MP3 players, their own headphones. I've just put the track online and said, download it, bring it along.
Amazing.
So everyone's got an iPod or an iPhone or an MP3 player nowadays, except for one or two I could mention, but you know. But yeah, so people are coming along. And I've told those, my boss, well, I work with her. I used to work in a pub not far from here. I go about once a month to help out with this particular night. She's coming along. She hasn't downloaded the music because for some reason, even though I told her, she only found out today. And so she's coming along with a pad and a pen, and I've told her there are 16 tracks, and she's going to try and guess what each song is while we're dancing. I can't wait to see what she comes up with. Well, I'm sure she'll get one or two, because there might be a step song in there that's got a very recognisable dance routine. That would be the one, yes. I don't even remember if I can remember the whole
tragedy.
Dance. Yes, tragedy.
When the feeling's gone.
And you can't go on. It's tragedy. The morning cries and you don't know why. It's hard to bear. Yeah, that's the one.
And dance moves wise, are we synchronised?
Oh God, no, you can do what you want. I went to a science club actually, when was this? Must have been maybe August. No, maybe it was later than that. I know I was working my current job. It was late last year, and I went down to Liverpool Street. Had a big silent disco there, so big that we started at 7. I think they closed the central line from Liverpool Street to the central line for maybe an hour and a half. That many people were there. Literally, you could not move. You were just like throwing your arms around and having a dance. I've always enjoyed silent discos. I've done quite a few. flash mob type things before, big pillow fight thing where you all go and do a pillow fight and in your pajamas. I did a silent disco at Victoria once. That was like, I can understand why people would not do that one, because that was at 5:47 on platform 5 in the evening. So of course everyone's trying to get home and there are hundreds of people just there milling along. It just looks busier than usual, and then suddenly everyone starts to dance to their own music. It's brilliant.
So dancing music, is it just for occasion, just enjoy it, or do you actually...
I just enjoy it. I like to go out clubbing a lot and I like to dance. The first song, I Just Want to Dance by Alison Jaya, who is amazing. Just in case you're listening to this, Alison, she sang Jerry Springer the Opera, it's all about dancing, so that's the opening song. It's just gonna be great. I go out most weekends. I'm the kind of person that I could happily go out, have a drink on a Friday night, not get home until probably late on a Sunday, just be out, sleep at friends, pay for a hotel because it's next to the club. I've done that before. There's a place I go called the Royal Vauxhall Tavern on a Sunday, and that's a kind of a club thing, but that starts, you know, you pick up your wristband at 2 in the afternoon, you get back at 5, and they have there's a big drag act thing, Edinburgh Experience, but go in there, it's all very, very sing-along, and she changes the words to songs, and I just stay there afterwards till about 11 o'clock, and then I go home, go to bed, and hopefully wake up in a reasonable state the next day to go to work.
So can I ask you a little bit about what you do for a living?
Yep, I'm a project manager. I'm currently working at the Royal College of Radiologists, just on a technical project at the moment. I'm only a recently qualified project manager, so it's my first project. So far, fingers crossed, everything's running reasonably smoothly. But before that, I've just done various jobs. When I moved to London, I very much took the first job that came my way so I could stay. And I worked my way up, and that was a call centre, and I kind of worked my way up and did some admin, and then got into project admin, then did my qualification, and then I've moved on. I quite enjoy it. I like the power trips sometimes.
And what exactly is this project that you've been doing?
It's an e-portfolio project. What we're doing is the college I work for is for clinical radiologists and clinical oncologists, and the project's about developing and implementing an e-portfolio so that they can track their training over 5 years and any appraisals, things like that. They can store them electronically. It's the general trend at the moment. Everyone's moving toward using them, but we're only quite a small college, so the nice thing for me is that it's not very formal project-wise. It's a good project to start with because I'm not doing loads and loads of paperwork as such. As long as the project gets done and I'm doing the relevant reporting, they don't mind. So it's great for me, it's great for them, you know, and it's well paid.
And can I ask you a little bit about where you're from, your background?
My parents, my mum and dad split up when I was young. They all live in the Midlands now. I love my mum to bits. Didn't always get on when I was a bit younger. I will admit, I was a bit of a bastard as a child. Like my little tantrums. But to be fair, my mum's probably one of my best friends now. Very much love her to bits. But I actually went to a boarding school, quite bizarrely, that's about a mile away from where my mum lives. For the first 5 years, I was a day boarder. So I'd get there in the morning for about 8:30, maybe a bit earlier. But after school, I'd get an hour and a half at school, and then we'd have something called prep, where I'd be there till 6:30, and we'd go in and we'd do our homework, and then I could go home at 6:30, and that was in year 7. And gradually after that, it got later and later, until by the time I was in year 11, prep wouldn't finish till kind of like 9. And then I would then stay with my mates, and I'd kind of leave about kind of 10:30, 11 o'clock. So when I went in the sixth form, the headmaster thought, because he knew I was going to go to university apparently, and thought it would be a good experience for me to practice being away from home more. So I got a scholarship to stay as a boarder, spent 2 years boarding there, and it was great. You know, I mean, I got bullied a bit, I got bullied a lot, But I loved it. The great thing about it was I got on really well there, academically, but also because it's a boarding school, they do lots of extracurricular activities. So we went away for weekends. Thanks to them, I've got a VHF radio license. I've got a license to drive a powerboat. I've got this certificate, that certificate, loads of things like that, all because I was there and because I helped out as well. I got a lot of them for free. So it was good. Then I went to university. That was prior to university. My exams was a bit of a struggle because I had a mountain biking accident, and I basically got on a mountain bike, tried to avoid this little child that had fallen over on a downhill bit, moved out of the way, lost control of the bike, hit a tree head on, shattered the helmet and damaged my collarbone, ripped all the nerves in my shoulder, so I was in a sling. My arm was in a sling for 8 months. Luckily, it got better on its own, but my exams were a bit of a struggle, because I, not long after I did that, I then fell down the stairs and broke my wrist, so I had that in a plaster cast and my hand like that. It was a bit crazy. I went to university after that and went to Oxford to study molecular and cellular biochemistry. Didn't quite agree with it in terms of it's been offered. It's very, very high pressure. And it's kind of one of those places that if you get a little bit behind, you're always playing catch up and it's expensive. So I did a year. Then I tried to do a second year and ended up spending more time working in a bar to earn the money because Oxford's more expensive than London. And then I dropped out, went home, and I did a bit of bar management stuff. Moved around the country a little bit, lived in Stratford-upon-Avon for a short while. And then after all that, I moved to London and looked back, really.
And so, I'm just really interested in what molecular, what was it?
Molecular and cellular biochemistry.
What exactly is that?
It's just kind of like the study of the chemistry of your body, basically. Things like DNA, that sort of thing. Mm. I'm a bit of a geek. Let it be said, I'm a geek.
And was it your school that kind of pressured you into going to Oxford?
No, I'd always wanted to go. I really wanted to go. I think it was just whenever you go to these places to look around, you don't really see what it's really like. And it is a lot of pressure. And, you know, I think the other thing is having gone to boarding school and worked very, very hard, always been known as, you know, a SWAT, you know, done all my work, done really well. I didn't go in, you know, not that anybody should, but I didn't even go into a nightclub until I was, I think it was literally the weekend before my 18th birthday. You know, all my friends were going out, you know, clubbing at the age of like 16, 17, getting in, and I didn't even really go drinking in the pub until I was kind of 18 anyway, because I'd spent a lot of time working and going away on the weekends. And then I got to university and I'd also just come out. So it's kind of like, whole new life, no parents, and I can do what I want. This is fantastic. Let's just party. So that didn't help. So I think it was a combination of just a lot of things.
And apart from music, what other kind of interests do you have?
I am the captain of a rugby team. I play for the King's Cross Steelers, who are the world's first gay rugby team. I'm captain of a second team. Since then, there are many, many gay rugby teams sprouting up around the world. That takes up a lot of my time. I know the coach will probably disagree with me at the moment because I've not been training this season yet because I've been on holiday and a couple of the things. I should have been training tonight, but he's letting me off because he knows I'm a good boy, really. I train Mondays and Wednesdays, and we have matches most Saturdays. We play in international tournaments. We played in one last summer in Dublin. We took two teams over, our first team. We're runners-up in the main competition. It was a big affair, you know, a lot of hard work. And then the second team who I was playing for, they were runner-up in one of the other competitions as well. And again, it's just, I like the rugby. It's a great thing. It's a real kind of team spirit, camaraderie thing, very passionate. And let's be fair, what more can anyone want than being crushed under a pile of men?
And how long have you been doing that for?
I played rugby at school, and I, to be fair, let's say I hated it. But back then I was a lot bigger than I am now, and a lot less fit. Then I came to London, and my friend persuaded me to go along and watch the King's Cross Steelers. I went along, persuaded me to kind of get involved, and then I started going down to training, and I wasn't very good at first. I had a lot of things that I had to unlearn from school. And I know the coach said that at one point he was on the verge of pretty much saying, it's not going to happen, which is fair, you know, if that was the case, that was the case. Apparently something happened, and now I'm the captain of the second team. Lord knows why. But some of them are coming down tonight, hopefully, after training. So actually, hopefully, they should all be... It's 9:30. They should all be rushing here as we speak to witness me being fabulous and hopefully take part.
Great. So just to go back to your hour.
Yes.
Are you doing it for anybody in particular?
Me, I think. It's something I've always wanted to do. But I was also quite keen that although I'm going up there to kind of enjoy myself, that, you know, I've got a lot of friends. You know, the rugby team is like my family in London. You know, I've got various group circles of friends, lots of people that I know. And so I also felt that, you know, if I'm doing this, I'd like them to be involved, which is why it's kind of the invite them, get them involved in picking the list of songs. And so I suppose really it's for me and my friends, I suppose. And my mum, who's going to watch at home. That'll be interesting. I promised her after the events of last night. I told her this morning, about the guy that took everything off. And I promised her that she thought that was. She's a bit of a prude sometimes, so I told her I'm just going to take my trousers off because I've got fluorescent yellow pants on. I might not. I don't know yet. I have got a couple of costume changes though.
And what costumes have you got?
Well, I've got this the fluorescent yellow top, which is great. Then, you know, obviously, you know, no self-respecting gay man should be without the black vest top and jeans combo. So I've got a black vest top underneath this. And then my friend from the bar that I work at donated to this evening while I was getting ready there. She thought it'd be great to give me this lovely woman's gold lamé jacket. So it's tiny. It has to be the last thing I put on. Like, it's got to be my last costume change because there ain't no way I'm getting it off me on my own. It will just be sticking to me. Someone has to help me out at the end. But it looks fabulous, and surely that's, you know, Tyra would say, you know, that's all that matters in life, looking fabulous.
Absolutely. And are you wanting to, how are you going to conduct all your kind of minions?
All I'm going to do is at the start, it's very much going to be, I'm going to count you in, I will shout to them, I've got a loud voice. I'm a rugby captain, I've got to have a loud voice. So it's very much, I'm going to shout at them, listen up sort of thing, you know, I'm going to count you in, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. And when I say play, then you press play on your little MP3s, iPods, whatever you've got, and just dance. However you want to dance, just enjoy it. Yes, I've got my friends actually coming along. I think I've got a couple of friends with their camera, one of them who does very good, it looks professional photography, so he's going to get some good ones of me, I hope. If anybody can make me look good, it'll be him. And I believe I've also got a friend bringing a video camera as well. So expect to see all of this on Facebook in about 2 hours' time.
Thank you so much, it's been great. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not that I can think of. Not really, just... I suppose I'm... glad to be doing this. I think it's a great little thing. Hell, there ain't many people who are going to be able to say that they've been able to stand on that plinth and have a dance, are there? Works for me.